Welcome to another Neil's Minutes. It's been almost exactly 2 months since I did the last one. It's not that there isn't things developing and God hasn't been talking. I've been so busy being with other people and imparting this thing that God is sharing with us about the intimacy, the a naturally supernatural, strong, devoted, personal, dynamic relationship with Jesus and the Father. And he's teaching me that it's, and I mean, no, he's not teaching me. He's showing me, the Holy Spirit will show you all truth, guide you into all truth, reveal to you all truth, show you things to come. And God has been showing me the reality of the position of intimacy that we need to attain to. It can be nothing short of being in the fullness of Christ, like he says in Ephesians 4. And until we all come to that maturity, to the fullness of Christ, to looking like Christ. But it's God has been imparting to me the reality that I must impart to others. It's not so much teaching as it is a movement to being who we are. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we're new creations. You know, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But I don't think that we know how to do that with the foundation that we have. Going back much more to when someone actually is hungry for the Lord or decides they want to walk with Jesus, we instantly begin giving them knowledge, and we begin giving them in some senses, the doctrines of the church, which a lot of them are simply what we have decided to do to, we think, preserve the gospel. And the gospel isn't interested in being preserved, it's being interested in being shared. So through what I went through in Australia and on the previous month before that, it's a continuation of this process of discovering that the Holy Spirit truly is the teacher. Yeah, he uses humans some, but there is a reality that we still tend to want to give people knowledge. And it's the first thing that someone who's coming into Jesus needs is a dynamic, close personal fellowship with him or intimacy. I think about babies. You know, when they are brought into the world, we don't throw a book in the crib and say, "When you can talk and read this book to me, then we can have conversation." You know, you need to study this book and all of the doctrines that you need for growing up in life are in this book. Well, it's not that the book isn't important. That's not what I'm saying. But the reality is God's about family, and he's about impartation. And impartation comes through close, personal, dynamic, naturally supernatural fellowship. We don't gain intimacy through knowledge. We gain intimacy through experience. And that's what happens with a little baby from the ages 1 to 4. It's all about giving them the relationship and showing them how to walk in the relationship with integrity, in a sense. We give them basic functions of right and wrong, but most of it is about a conversation that fulfills a need that they have or fulfills something that they need to have, so that it it imparts character. You know, it's like Matthew 6 and 7. He doesn't really deal with things we do, he deals with the character that we're to have. Blessed are the poor in spirit, you know. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, there's so many things that he shows us, but they're character. It's about characters, not so much in how you do it or how it happens, but that this is the goal, is to walk in the character and likeness of Jesus Christ. He had one goal in his heart, and that was to fulfill the desire of the Father. He didn't have a goal to fulfill the desire of our hearts. That came from fulfilling the desire of the Father's heart. I don't do anything, see anything, go anywhere, say anything unless the Father tells me or shows me. That's the criteria of being little children. You know, he lived in the place where the desire of the Father's was his life force. He had a passion for the relationship that he was, as a man, had been born into since he had been the Word of God in the beginning. But there's this reality that almost all of what Jesus did showed us how to be rather than how to do. Showed us how we should walk in the freedom of a relationship, and how the relationship with Jesus sets us free from the law, sets us free from these doctrines of do or don't do. You know, those do and don't do show up to a person who is walking in a relationship with someone else. There's always the need of a relationship. There's a need to the relationship. Any relationship, there are things you do for the other person just because you know they like it, just because you know that it's something important to them. And I believe that that's where God has had me the last 2 months, as I'm trying to let go of some of the ways that I teach and coming to a place of it being an impartation rather than a knowledge-based curriculum of action, I guess you could say. We're coming down to a place in the U.S. and everywhere around the world that I've been, or that I have friends that I talk to, that they recognize without an intimacy with the Lord Jesus, we're going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So somehow or other, we have to lose this religious intimacy that we have when we're in church meetings or when we're in church gatherings. And we have to attain to this intimacy that is 24/7, that there is no place that I can afford to be without being tuned into Jesus. You know, and anybody that's read anything I've written on prayer, prayer is about listening. You know, it's not about the desire we have that we see for other people. It's about what is God saying? What does he see? What is he showing us? That prayer needs to be focused on seeking and saving the lost and destroying the works of the devil, but it needs to be in very personal, very exacting, precise. You know, God doesn't show me what's going on in Newport, Washington in the book. He shows me the general atmosphere around the world. But if I want to know what to do here today, I need to be listening now. I need to be listening when I go to lay my head down to sleep, when I wake up in the morning. In everything I do, there needs to be a listening and a hearing. God doesn't concretely divinely control every step of my life. There has to be choice or there can be no love. So I know he's not a puppet master. So the interaction is where we gain the reality of his presence and who he says we are and who Jesus says we are. Paul says that we are. John says that we are. Peter says that we are. About being sons and daughters of God, there needs to be the intimacy between an incredible father and us as children. So this time frame that I haven't been sharing is because I'm still trying to figure out how to impart the way he is showing me. And I found that first you have to be in a place where you identify yourself the way that the Father identifies you, the way Jesus identifies you, so that you hear differently. You know, your identity affects how you hear and what you hear. And I'm becoming more and more adamant that we need to deal with the character that we have been told we should have and line it up with the character that Jesus says we are. I was in Bangkok at a international conference. I was one of the speakers, and as I went through this conference, through these 3 or 4 days of this conference, I noticed something happening inside me that has to do with God's heart being in me and me being in God's heart. That just set me free from so many things that when I'm involved in a conference, I would have done, how I would have reacted, what I would have been about. But I really had no need to give. It was that wherever I sat down, people would come up, we'd start talking, and it would end up that they would pull out of me something about intimacy, or they would pull out of me something that had to do with finding a place where you walk with Jesus 24/7 and it does not look religious at all. It looks like someone walking out life with a friend, walking out life with a twin brother. I don't know what that's like. I don't have a twin, but it's a close, dynamic, personal, naturally supernatural walk. I'm seeing way more people touched by what I am saying and doing than ever before. There's a reality of hunger because people know that what we're doing is not working. I don't know that I've ever talked to a pastor that doesn't know that what we're doing is not working. Even when they have big meetings and they see many people say a sinner's prayer, it's not changing our cities, our country. We are a post-Christian country. According to the statistics and the things I'm reading and hearing, it's like we have wandered so far from the truth, and we compromise with others so that we can maintain a relationship. We live in the place of compromising God's presence and who God is, who lives in us, and we're compromising it. We want to fit in. We don't want to have any more struggles or trials. But my book says that Christians are going to experience a lot more struggles and trials as we get closer to the end, because you're going to be hated. If you're really walking with Jesus, there is going to be persecution. If you're really walking in the heart of what Jesus says, there's going to be some incredible encounters with people that you have. But there's a cost, and that is going back to the character we taught between the ages of 1 and 4 in family life. That character we learned during that period of time, those things we become before we actually start reading and learning knowledge, that's where we're going to need to return to. We have to find this place in Christ that he is pulling us and showing us that is such an expression of his presence. I am so excited about what's coming, and yet I also am. I'm going, Lord, God help us, oh dear Jesus, because it's going to require of us to do the new, which is be rather than do. He's going to require of us that we would listen rather than talk. He's going to require of us that we are hearing rather than speaking. The presence of Christ doesn't come by the abundance of our words or by the great sermons we preach or by the great teachings that we have. It comes as we envelop ourselves into the relationship, just as a bride would do with a groom. There is an enthralled thing between the two of them that just cuts out a lot of noise that the world makes around them. And I know that that's what the Lord is bringing us to. I know that's where he's taking us. But to go there, it's going to cost us, because we've got to stop focusing on big and start focusing on intimate. We've got to stop focusing on doing and start focusing on being. And that's going to take a change of focus. That's a change of mind, a change of how we're walking. Why are we walking? Why are we doing this? Is this about us, or is it really about Jesus and the lost? So with that, I'm going to close off, and hopefully there will be another one of these minutes in a couple weeks. I'm leaving to speak at a YWAM base tomorrow or Saturday. And then if all these sales of our house and the buying of the other one we are looking at goes through, I'll be moving on the 15th through the 21st. So blessings, 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 and may God move your heart to live in his heart and to walk in his presence.